The following message is an Antioch Bible Church presentation.
Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for being our God, and thank you for the opportunity that we have to open your word. Thank you for the blessing of your word. You know my prayer, Lord, that you'll move your servant out of the way, that you have the freedom to say and do whatever to whomever. And for those of us who need conviction, I pray you would convict us. And for those of us who need comfort, I pray you would comfort us, Lord. Lord, this is about you. Father, thank you for sending your son. Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross, moving, leaving to send your Holy Spirit to dwell in each of us that are believers. We thank you now for what you want to accomplish and what you want to do through today's message. In Jesus' name, we all say, praise God. Those of you that may be here for the first time, not at Antioch, but maybe for the first time for the book of John, since we started the book of John, this is our fifth week in verse 1, 2, and 3. We are burning up the scriptures. Today, we're going to see if we can get out of verse 1, 2, and 3. And we're going to spend the majority of our time in verse 6, 7, and 8. Talking about the second great personality that is emphasized in the book of John. We're going to read verse 1, 2, and 3 with you to show you what you have kind of missed over the last several weeks. And if you have, please get on the internet, call the church, whatever, and download those sermons so you can catch up with us. It's very important to get the flow of where we're going and how we're going. John chapter 1, beginning with verse 1. In the beginning was Jesus Christ, was the Word, was the action of God. And Word of God and the action of God and the Lord Jesus Christ was with God. And the action of God and the Word of God and the Lord Jesus Christ was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. We have established that Jesus Christ was God, is God, will be God. Always was God, will continue to be God, is totally eternal. We've established that there is nothing that was ever made that was made outside of Jesus Christ. God the Father did not create. God the Holy Spirit did not create. The Lord Jesus Christ created. We're going to see as we walk through the next several verses something that's even more important, and that is some of those questions that we have that we run into in our society, we run into in class, we run into in evolution. We talked through some of the aspects of evolution last week and the week before. As we look at verse 4 and 5, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. If all things were created by him, nothing that was created was created outside of him, then in him would be life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shined in darkness, and the darkness overcame it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light. What light? Jesus Christ. Verse 4 and 5, and also in verse 9. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. Verse 9. That was the true light, which lighted every man that cometh into the world. When we look at Jesus Christ, when we look at the creation, when we look at how God moved through his word, the word being Jesus Christ himself, not just speech, but God took action. When we look at the whole aspect of the discussion about when life began, I pray today that you can never have to worry about how to answer that question again. Some said life began the third, fourth month of a pregnancy. Some said life began when he comes, the child is born and he takes his first breath. Some believe that correctly that life began at conception. Now, what do you mean by that, Pastor? If Jesus Christ is eternal, if he is eternal, that's not an if, that is a since. Since he is eternal, he always was. He always is, and he always will be. And if he has always been, then we have to come to the conclusion there's no break in eternality. You see, if there's a break in eternality, when you and I accept Jesus Christ, we did not get eternal life, we got temporary life. You see, if you are in Christ, you have eternal life. If you're not in Christ, you only have everlasting life. If you are in Christ, you move into eternality. You have no beginning, no end. You are swallowed up in Christ. If you're not a Christian, you have a beginning but no end. Major difference between eternality and everlasting. If you are conceived, life begins at conception. Why do you say that, Pastor? Simply because Jesus Christ is eternal. If Jesus Christ is eternal and he became in his mother's womb, when did he get in his mother's womb? At conception. Thus, he was alive from conception until he was born from his mother's womb. So life began at conception. And isn't it amazing that when you look at man, woman, when you look at God and woman, when you look at Satan and woman, there's a lot of things happen in the world. Satan and woman got together and sin entered the world. God and woman got together and salvation entered the world. Man wasn't nowhere around on either one of them. Where was he? Oh, she would ask, where are we now? Amen. Forget where was it. Where are we now? Isn't that the two greatest events in all the world happened with woman? One with woman and Satan, one with woman and God. And if God is who he says, Jesus is who he is, and Jesus has given life as he has given life all in creation and it is light to all men. Isn't it amazing that our Lord Jesus Christ, when he was in his mother's womb, held the world together? In his mother's womb, his word as a fetus held everything together. And that baby sitting inside his mother's womb created his mother. Bam! Something ought to tell you that if God can do all that as a fetus, what can he do now as a risen Lord in your life? Is there anything too hard for God in your life? You come up with anything in your life that's more difficult than holding the world together as a fetus? As for me and my house, I'm at rest. Can I get an amen? Amen. Woo! If you are a Christian, you have eternal life. If you're sitting in this room today and in this service and you're not a Christian, you only have everlasting life. And when you accept the Lord Jesus Christ, you do not accept him just as Savior. He moves in as Lord. Whether you understand that or not really doesn't matter. When he moves in, he moves in 100%. You don't get a piece of him and then grow into the rest of him. Can I have a... Thank you, Jimmy. I appreciate that. You see, if I go to Nordstrom's, come on, get someone give me an amen on that. I go to Nordstrom because some people over here on the east side think Nordstrom is heaven. All you ever need is a Nordstrom. If I'm going to go to Nordstrom's and I walk in the store and someone walk up to me and says, Pastor, I go, yes, that's me. I got an offer for you. You can have the men's clothing part of Nordstrom's, or you can have the whole store. I'm going to ask you, Brother Ty, come on, Brother Ty. Which one did you choose? The whole store, brother. Yes, that's right. I'm going to ask you another question later. Goddamn right. Why would you want to walk into Nordstrom's and just own the men's department? That is el stupido. Because everybody knows if you're going to own one department, it's women's shoes. Can I have an amen? Every salesman in Nordstrom wants to get in women's shoes. But if you can have the whole store, so why do you want to accept Jesus Christ just as Savior? When you can have all of it. And we're going to give every one of you an opportunity today, because I know that not everyone in here that's a Christian is really walking with God. You need to graduate up a little bit. You need to understand about Jesus Christ and who he is and what he wants to be and how he needs to be Lord of your life. You need to graduate up to that. And I'd be even more stupid to think that everyone in here is a believer, is a Christian, has given your life to Christ. And I'm going to give you the opportunity through the Holy Spirit, if we go through the word today, to get all of God, not some of him. For him to own all of you, 100% stockholder in your life. Because there's nothing greater in all the world. And I don't know where this thing come from. Some of you may have heard it. Some of you may have said it, you know. Man, when you come to know Jesus Christ, and you accept Christ and you got that faith, everything else is good. There are no problems, man, because if you got problems, you got a lack of faith. Because when you walk with Jesus, everything lines up. Prayer's being answered. Woo! New house, new car, fur coat. That's for the men. My neighborhood, boy, we used to bust up the fur coat with some platform shoes. Oh, we'll leave that alone. We're going to get back to the word. And he who talks about the Lord Jesus Christ, he who came in the flesh, he who has created all things, including you. Things we established last week in Colossians chapter 1, verse 19, 20, and 21. As we established in Colossians 1, 15 and 16. That if he has created you and he has preeminence over all creation, he's not going to settle for being number two in your life. Behind anything. Might as well get it all. He said, well, Pastor, what's the use of really walking with Christ if you're going to have problems anyway? At least if I don't accept Christ or not walking with him as a Christian, at least I got sin to go along with it. I can have a little fun along the way. You know what? If you're thinking that way, you really don't know my God. If you're thinking that way, and this is for you young ladies and young men out there who's not married yet. If you're dating somebody, and they'll compromise before God what they know God says is right and wrong, that tells me they love themselves more than they love God. And if someone loves God more than they love, someone loves themselves, excuse me, more than they love God, Do you think they ever going to love you more than themselves? I don't think so. I don't think so. So you find out real quick, the one you're going out with, before you say I do, you make sure they won't give up what is right before God. We got people that's just blowing me away. Just go, well, I'm just tired walking with God. I know it's wrong, but I'm gonna go ahead and do it anyway. We need a graduation today. We need to move higher as Christians here today. We need to move higher if you are only living in everlasting life, moving eternal life. I want to show you what it means a little later on to walk with God, to be upright before God, to be righteous before God, to be blameless before man, and still have things go wrong. But whoa. You cannot beat what happens when you stick to it and God comes through. Can anyone in here give the pastor an amen on that one? And I'll prove it to you. Are we ready for chapter 1, verse 6, 7, and 8? There was a man sent from God whose name was John. We're not talking about John of the Gospel of John. We're talking about John the Baptist. When we went through this on our overview of the book of John, we touched upon some things, but we didn't go deep enough to really explain some stuff I think you and I need to look at. Go back to the book of Malachi, the last book in the Old Testament, right before the book of Matthew. When you go back to the book of Malachi, I want you to go back to chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3, we're going to do verse 1, 2, and 3. We only touch in the overview the first part of verse 1, really. We're going to go through 1, 2, and 3, because if you don't understand a little biblical history, a little prophecy, Malachi chapter 3 don't make sense when you read verse 1, 2, and 3 together. If you understand a little bit about Jewish custom and Jewish prophecy, because when they ask God, what is your future plan, God always gave them the plan outside of some of the obscure scriptures, but it was always dealing with the Jew. When Daniel asked, what is your plan for the Jew? God gave Daniel the plan for the Jew. There, no one knows that there was a break between the 6th and 9th, 70th week of Daniel, unless you know a little bit of history. No one knows that if you don't read what a break between verse 1 and 2 in Malachi, you get the wrong picture. And even don't feel bad if you get the wrong picture. Guess who else got the wrong picture? All the disciples. All the Jews. Verse 1, Malachi chapter 3. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. There's two messengers in verse 1. See it? The first messenger is John the Baptist, promised 400 years before the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The second messenger, the messenger of the covenant, is Jesus Christ. Okay, that's when it gets a little hairy about understanding. Read verse 2 and 3 with me. But who may abide the day of his coming, and who shall stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. And he shall sit like a refiner and purifier of silver, and he shall purify the sons of Levi, purge them like gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. Boom, we're talking about a judge in verse 2 and 3. Verse 1 talks about John the Baptist coming during the church age. the end of the Old Testament, the transition between the Old Testament and judgment. It's called the church age. Verse 2 and 3 takes in the tribulation, takes in the millennial kingdom, and the great white throne judgment. And that's why the Jews were so upset at Jesus. When Jesus came down and they were looking for the king, they were looking for the one that's coming, that a refiner. He's going to come in and he's going to wipe out the Romans. All of a sudden he says, I came like a lamb to the slaughter. I got to die. And they go, what? No. We want you to go on to verse 2 and 3. I don't know about you, but have you ever prayed for someone that God would not be verse 1? But God would act like verse 2 and 3 on them? I have never prayed that prayer on me. I don't think I should pray it on. Well, maybe that's a couple, bro. You know, maybe that's a couple. Don't want to go to counseling? We'll pray for them, okay. Verse 2 and 3 on them. Pretty neat stuff. John, the messenger, promised before the Messiah. Man, you would think that, man, after 400 years, wow. You think they still remember? You think they still look for that? You think that some of them stop praying that that messenger is going to show up after 400 years? How many of you have stopped praying about something? You know, it's okay to be honest and forthright and upfront. Raise your hand. Any of you guys ever been praying about something and it's been so long you just quit praying? I like this church. You know how God's not going to convict yourself on nothing. Well, you're not around for 400 years, but can you imagine that generation after generation after generation that knew this prophecy? After so many generations, would just kind of forget it? And there are other generations that wasn't even believers that didn't forget. That's why we had the three wise men show up at the birth of Christ from Persia, who've been taught by Daniel. Never forgot. And I'm going to show you in a few moments that if you hang on to your prayers and don't forget and keep praying, God wants to do something mighty. Our biggest problem is we kind of forget. And I want to tell you something else. I hope it don't hurt you, but if it does, that's okay. God very seldom will get out of line to answer your prayers. What does that mean? God won't override one prayer to answer another one. You know, God made elephants. Anybody know what they say about elephants? They never forget. If God made an elephant so he never forgets, what do you think about God? You ever pray a prayer like this? God, I just want to be a godly man. That's if you're a man. God, I just want to be a godly woman. You ever pray anything like that? And then you start praying about God, give me a better job. Give me a little more pay. Could you please take this away from me, Lord? Now, what was your first prayer? Make me a godly what? Use your gender. Man or woman. And if God says that you need to stay in this problem and make you a godly man or godly woman, do you think he's going to override that prayer? See, you can go oops and try to take it back. But it's already logged in. I'm sorry. I should be. Hey, people are going to need a lot of counseling after the sermon today. Get ready, man. Get ready. They're going to call you at the office tomorrow mornings, 6 a.m. Turn with me to the book of Luke. We went over a little of this when we went over the overview, but we're going to get into it today. Luke chapter 1. Beginning with verse 5. That was in the days of Herod. This is Herod the Great. Herod the Tetrarch runs into Jesus a little later on. Because Herod the Great, God's going to burst open and killed with some worms when he tries to kill baby Jesus. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abijah, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. 400 years earlier, we have the promise out of Malachi that a forerunner is going to be sent before Jesus Christ, a doorkeeper. Guess who that doorkeeper is? It's going to be the son of Zacharias and Elizabeth. Put their names together. Zacharias and Elizabeth, promise God remembers. So 400 years later, God takes two people whose name means God remembers his promise and fulfills the prophecy of Malachi 3:1. Is that God awesome? Yeah, no. Is that God awesome? If he is, check this out. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord. They were blameless, and they had no child because Elizabeth was barren, and they both was now well stricken in years. What? Whoa. Can anyone in here tell me what was the worst thing that could happen to a Jewish woman back in the biblical days? Be barren. Have no children, as Jocelyn Elders would say back in the day, no children. Some of you probably don't even remember Jocelyn Elders. Some of us want to forget. Amen. Children, my only guys, got to get the children in here. The worst thing is not to have kids. Now, here's a couple, blameless, righteous, living before God, living before man, and God allows them to have the worst thing possible to happen to them. No children of that day. Today, many people don't want kids. Amen? And they think it's, you know, don't even bother them. It's perfectly all right. Some of us got children that wish we could give them back. Can they be born again? Well, if we get them in there, we're not going to let them be born again. That's some of us parents' feelings. Oh, I love this. Hold on to your hat. And it came to pass while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest, verse 9, office was lot was fell on him. And the whole multitude, verse 10, of the people was praying outside at the time of incense. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. Can anyone tell me why he was troubled? There's no oops clause in the temple. If you messed up, God kill you right on the spot. So here he is in there carrying on his order, and he looks up, and there's an angel standing there. What do you think he's going, oh, wow. Way to go, baby. Answer prayer. I was praying I see an angel while I was in here. No. He thought he was getting ready to die. Thought he had messed up. And what did the angel of the Lord say to him? Your prayer has been heard, and you're going to have a child. And he goes, what? How do I know this? Anybody in here going to tell me what is wrong with that man? You're in the temple, and the Holy Ghost burning incense. Angel shows up and says, hey, God heard your prayer. You're going to have a baby. And he goes, right. Something ain't right here. How do I know this? Anyone here want to give me a wild guess why he said that to the angel? Can't hear you. Old? Old? He said, I'm an old man, and my wife is well stricken in years. That boy knew not to call that woman old. Even in the temple, she can't even get to him. Can I have an amen? My boy was, just in case the angel going to go out and tell her. They make a trip to Nordstrom. Women's shoes. Isn't it amazing, guys? You know why I think he asked that question? It's just my humble and accurate opinion. But I really think he's forgotten that prayer. He's not praying that prayer anymore for a child. He think he's too old, and he think his wife's too old. They can't have possibly have a child. And he has dropped the prayer. So when the angel comes along and says, hey, I want to give you a child, he's totally forgotten that prayer. How many of us have forgotten our prayers? But the greatest thing I'm going to show you here is, even if you forget, God won't. And when he doesn't forget, he always answers it better than what you pray. Yeah, and that's, you know, anyone can say that. Amen? Are you from Missouri? Otherwise classified as misery. That's where you put the emphasis. What syllable? Can I have an amen? Would you want the pastor to prove to you that if you don't forget, and even if you do, God want to answer better? So I got the word on my side so I can do it, baby. Watch this. Luke got the, yeah, I hate to say that sometimes because I say Luke and then Luke Frank will look up like, oh, he's picking on me again. Look at this. Verse 14. And thou shalt have joy and gladness. Many shall rejoice at his birth, for he shall be great in the sight of the Lord. He shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He was going to take a Nazarite vow, just like Samson. He shall be filled with the Holy Spirit even from his mother's womb. Bam! Greatest man ever born a woman that man had something to do with was John the Baptist. The greatest man ever born a woman, of course, we know is the light, Jesus Christ. But the greatest man ever born that man had something to do with was John the Baptist. Born a believer. Full of the Holy Spirit. What if God would have answered that prayer when they first start praying? Lord, we'd like to have a son. Okay, bam. They would have been excited. Can I have an amen? They would have been excited about that? Oh, I'm telling you, they would get that boy, man, a Jewish boy, could be following his dad's footsteps, be a priest too. Yeah! He would have been good! But no. God waited. God just didn't give him a son. God gave him the only man ever born a Christian. Ooh. That's something else, too. Not only did they give him a son, Jesus gave him a son that was only ever born a Christian, God gave him the last Old Testament prophet. Oh, and they would have got a son earlier. But God just had something a little bit better. Born a Christian, the last Old Testament prophet ever. And check this out. Are you checking? Are you ready for this one? Ooh. He was the only prophet that got to see the fulfillment of scripture that the Messiah was coming. Anyone else can get in here and get excited that, oh God, come on, church. If you let God come through and you hold on, bam, skis. Not only, oh, well, don't clap yet. Hold on, baby. We got some more for you. We got some more. More better, more better. That's Hebrew. Not only did he give him a son that was born a Christian. Not only did he give him a son that was the last Old Testament prophet. Not only did he give him a son. Are you ready for this? That saw the Messiah. Only one that saw the prophecy fulfilled. He also gave him a son who was able to baptize the Messiah to start his ministry. Ah, I can get excited about that. I don't know about you. Anybody else can get excited? Able to start Jesus. on his public ministry. That'll look good on your resume. Can I get an amen? Oh, I think that's something else. Can I go one more? Oh, I know there's a bunch more, but can we go just one more? Not only did God give a son that was one born, a Christian, Lazarus, the brother, the only one that saw the prodigal field, baptized Jesus Christ and started his ministry, but God also gave them the first cousin to Jesus Christ. Somebody walk into church with that kind of resume? Why should I hire you? Baptized Jesus and his first cousin. Done. Come on in. Bring Jesus with you too. Oh my land. I'm sorry, folks. This is some good stuff. Can I have an amen? It's just some flat out good stuff right there, boy. Whew. Look at verse 24. When he finished his job, up to verse 23, Zacharias, Elizabeth, they went home. And after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived and hid herself for 5 months. How long did she hide herself? 5 months. First verse says, next verse in verse 23 says, and then the 6th month, the angel Gabriel came along and met with a woman named Mary, who was a virgin, who was engaged to Joseph. What month was that? The 6th month. Wow. Let me see. Can I throw a question at you? Who do you think wanted to believe in the virgin birth more than Joseph? That boy wanted to believe that virgin birth stuff right there. Can anyone here tell me who was the oldest, Joseph or Jesus? Excuse me, John the Baptist or Jesus? Who was the oldest? John the Baptist. How old was he older than Jesus? 6 months. When did Jesus start his ministry? 30 years old. When do you think John the Baptist started his? 30. You know what? Jesus Christ was lifted up and set the whole world on fire by John the Baptist in 6 months. So don't start telling me how much more you got to learn, how much more you got to do before you think you can do ministry. Don't talk to me about, well, I got to go get this education. I got to get this degree. You can have more degrees than Fahrenheit and still not be used by God. Or you can make yourself available and God can change the world with you in a matter of months. As for me and my house, I believe that. I don't have. Whew. I don't know, folks. Man, we're running out of time. Is this good stuff? 6 months, I believe, that John the Baptist started his ministry at age 30. You think John the Baptist and Jesus knew each other? Can't hear you. I think they knew each other, but I don't know if John the Baptist really understood who he was until Jesus walked in that water in front of him. And he saw the dove descend. The Holy Spirit descend like a dove and land on it. And the voice from heaven said, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Do you know that after all that, John the Baptist doubted? Lost his faith that Jesus was the Messiah. So don't think that you are not in a position to walk away from God. But we need to make a graduation today. Those of you that are Christians, you need to look serious at your life. Are you really sold out to God? Or is God kind of okay on the side? You know, God's kind of like a salad, and you put the dressing on the side and use it if you want to. Or should I say, you're the salad? That'd be a better picture, wouldn't it? You're the salad, and Jesus is kind of the dressing on the side. So if you want to use him to perk things up, you just kind of. I think we ought to graduate today, Christians. I think we ought to graduate today. I think we ought to say, yes, I know I'm a Christian, but I know I'm not living the way I should. I know I'm not trusting God the way I should. And my Savior is enough. And God will always come through better than I think he will if I just don't forget and hold on. And those of you that are here that have never accepted Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, you're still mixed up in that everlasting life. You got a beginning but no end. Because everyone that's conceived is going to live forever. The problem is where you're going to spend it. Can I get an amen? Come on, have you heard this lie? I'm going to be with the rest of my friends. If I go to hell, I'm with the rest of my friends. We're going to party. We're going to partake. Guess what? That's a lie. Lie from the pit. And everyone thinks that Satan is the warden of hell. You know, everyone get a kind of picture that Satan runs it? No, Satan's an inmate. You do know that, right? He's not going to be serving drinks behind the bar at the party. He's going to be burning like everybody else. Call that a black Russian. What can I say? Oh, so I'm sorry. This church is not supposed to be fun. It's supposed to be humdrum. But I'm going to give you a little secret. If you're here and you only have everlasting life, you need to graduate. You need to move up a level. You need to get in that elevator and move up to the Lord Jesus Christ. And let me ask you a question. How many of us in here were non-believers before we became a believer? Before you became a believer, did things go bad? Did things go bad in your life? Oh, isn't that amazing? But isn't it amazing that things would go bad and you didn't have Jesus before? Now you got the greatest problem solver in the world on your side. And he can come to you anytime he wants. But if you haven't accepted Jesus, you don't have that. Only thing you have is your own self, pulling yourself up by your own bootstrap. It's time for you to really get serious about graduating from everlasting life to the eternal life. For when you step in Jesus, he eliminates your past. He eliminates your future. It becomes him. And he's eternal. And so will you be. Father, thank you so much for being our God. Thank you for today. Thank you for the opportunity we have to lay our life at the altar. Those, Lord, that are here today that are Christians, that's not walking the way you know they should or wants to go to a deeper walk with you, Lord, I pray right now that they would say, here I am, Lord. I want to walk that walk. I want to talk that talk. And I'm going to stand so others can see me do it. And for those, Lord, that never accepted you, I pray that they would come real clear. Don't make it difficult. Simple. They say, Jesus, here I am. I believe you're God. I believe you're man. I believe you died on the cross in my place. I believe by dying you paid for my sins. I believe you rose again after being buried. 3 days later, you came out of the grave. And because I believe those things, you said that I can be made right with you. Forgive me of my sin, Jesus. Thank you for making me the man or woman that you want me to be. Thank you for my belief. Now, Lord, help me with my unbelief. Amen.
This has been a presentation of Antioch Bible Church. For more information about Antioch Bible Church or to order additional resources, please call 425-556-5905 or go to www.abchurch.org.